Welcome to the Community Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jen, your host through all things Greendale. But today, we've chosen the path of chaos. And because I've said chaos and we, you know who my guest is. It's our vegan cookie dough lover, audio editor extraordinaire, all-around fun human being. It's Chels. Hello, Chels.
Hello. How's it going?
Oh, you know, when we were talking about like maybe doing a bonus episode, we read through or heard the nominees for the Golden Globe Awards. And we were like, I think you were like, we should do an episode about this because, oh boy, woo, there's a lot to unpack here.
A lot of saltine packets.
It basically looks like a bunch of saltine crackers nominated for awards across the board. When you read through nominees, it's hard sometimes to like think through visually, but then there was a visual representation which we will link to in our show notes that really helps put into picture how white the Golden Globes for 20.
And it's a traditional problem.
Yeah.
With them. And it's, I mean, I know we're going to talk pretty much about television. You can hear my thoughts about Golden Globes on other podcasts.
Yeah.
Sure. But, woo boy. I mean, it's a problem in film as well. Yeah. Is a little bit better this year for film.
Yeah.
Marginally.
Yeah.
But white TV. Woo.
Yeah. It's real. It's real baffling to me, too. We'll talk about the Golden Globes, and we'll talk a little bit about the SAG Awards, too, because there was some overlap in nominees, obviously, and then there's some differences in the SAG Awards, which I feel like were a little bit better in terms, especially in film, I feel like was better off. I know for TV, there was choices that I was like, okay, I approve. But yeah, it's just very jarring when you realize how much good TV there was last year and how much incredible diverse storytelling there was on TV last year. And then to see the nominees that come out of the Golden Globes, it's not like there was nothing on TV, and it's not like there was not a billion different options that we could have chosen. And we chose the path of white people, which is not to say...
It's kind of shocking.
It just really is. It's not to say that there aren't some people on here who deserved nominations, because I wouldn't want to be like, oh, none of these people deserve nominations. But there are definitely shows and performers that outperformed a lot of the people on this list and did not get any recognition whatsoever, which is baffling to me because of the fact that there are shows that so many critics were raving about all of 2020.
And audiences. It wasn't even just like a critic's darling. Audiences were really invested in different stories this year.
And that's the thing that's baffling is like, usually I feel like there is sometimes a disparity where like a lot of the things that get nominated are critical darlings that the audience has never really heard of or doesn't care to invest in. But in this particular last year, it felt like there were a lot of things that there was great overlap and like unanimous critical acclaim, unanimous audience acclaim, and nothing, like zero.
And we can't, like, the pandemic did contribute to this because a lot of people were at home and did watch the same shows.
True.
And I would say, just thinking about it, the three biggest shows of last year were Schitt's Creek, I May Destroy You, and Lovecraft Country.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain degree, some are represented, some are not represented at all. And one of them's just not represented enough. It only really got one nomination, which is kind of silly. And we'll get into more of the details of that later, but it's just really disappointing. Yeah. And I think the big thing people are talking about, I'm just going to do the show comparison now, is yes, they are in different categories and it's a different competition, but I May Destroy You was shut out, which is kind of a crime if you think about it, especially in the same year as Promising Young Woman on the film side, two films that deal with a topic in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a lot more detailed, a lot more thoughtful. One of them is a pretty fun film.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is I May Destroy You had harder competition because of how they treat the miniseries and supporting categories at Globes.
Yeah.
But you see something like that be at the top of its game, a creator and performer at the top of her game, and she still can't win. She can't even get in literally on the ballot.
That was,
but then you have something like Emily in Paris, okay, and a show that everybody watched and made fun of.
Yeah.
Every single person, like, it was a silly, you can say it, dumb show.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have been nominated.
Yeah. Well, and it's
and
funny.
You see how, like, she is the lead of the show, Lily Collins. Nothing against her. I've loved her in a lot of things. But you look at Emily in Paris, a stupid show with the lead who was a daughter of a famous person marrying into another famous family, and the nepotism hits. Mm-hmm. So it's really stupid to see her easily get nominated, her show easily get nominated, whenever Michaela Cole can't get in. And you see that the bar is set so differently for these two people. And why do you think that is?
Racism?
Nailed it.
I saw some things floating around, and we'll dive into this when we get into the categories, about the idea that a lot of people watched Emily in Paris, and a lot of people hate watched Emily in Paris. But networks don't care about the reason you watch a show. You could stream it because it's the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life, or you could stream it because you hate it and you want to make fun of it all day. All that the network sees is the numbers. Like, it doesn't matter your reasoning. And I did see a very good tweet, and if I can find it, I will credit, because I feel so bad that I cannot remember who said this. But, like, the network doesn't care why you do things. They can just go to people and be like, look at how many people watched our show. And in some ways, that's not great as an audience member, because then we sit here and we're like, there are a bunch of reasons, obviously, that we talked about and we'll dive into about why Emily in Paris was nominated. But you can't deny the numbers of people who watched that show. And that's what people care about.
Not even the amount of people who watched it, the amount of people who tweeted about it, because Twitter engagement is also a part of ratings now, because people want to know that their show is popular on social media. So whenever you're watching it and tweeting about it, no matter how horrible of things you say about it, it doesn't matter.
It counts. It counts. You're adding the hashtag. It counts.
It counts right now that we're talking about it, even though it's a show I'm not going to watch. I just don't care about it.
Yeah. But that's the drawback of living in a world where everything is so connected, is like your network doesn't care about the reasons why you watch the show. All it cares about is the eyeballs that are watching and the amount of money that they can make based on your eyeballs. And there are a lot of people who did watch Emily in Paris because they wanted something dumb and fun to escape. But when you look at the numbers, for people who can just see numbers, they're not like, oh, only half these people really liked our show. They're like, look at the millions of people that tuned in. Clearly, we've got a hit on our hands. And that, unfortunately, is, I think, one of the things that's interesting about having you and I having like come up in kind of the social media boom is that a lot of people now who are growing up or who are like Gen Z don't quite understand how social media works in terms of advertising, in terms of networks and shows and that kind of thing. They think, oh, hashtag like good, you know, like, and they don't understand that there's a very specific kind of formula and way that networks look and advertisers. And so not understanding necessarily how the algorithm works is a detriment sometimes in the end for people who are, you know, hate tweeting a show that is technically giving the show engagement. And a social media coordinator is going to look at that and see engagement numbers. They're not going to see like, wow, 90% of these people.
And at the end of the day, it's just going to be a point on a graph.
It's true.
For somebody to sell money for advertising. So
exactly.
I will just say, as they told us when we were kids, be careful what you put on the internet.
It's true.
They literally told us that, and now we just use it. Everything is about money.
And that's the bottom line, guys, is that like everything is about money. And we talked about this extensively, like when we were back in the community days of like, I think that was kind of my first education in how fandoms can mobilize, but how ultimately the thing you need to target is the network and the studios and putting money into their pockets. That's all they care about. They don't care about your hash mob. Like, they care if you're making them money. And if you're making
them money, they love money and they love awards.
They love money and awards. And so the idea is you can make as much noise as you want to on social media toward creators, toward showrunners, whatever. You can tell people you love their stuff. Please don't tell people that you hate their stuff. Like, that's just rude.
Don't tag people in your hate. That's just mean.
Don't tag people.
Even if it is a bad show, don't. Unless they're doing active harm, don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless they're like actively harming or causing disruption. I mean, I can think of some showrunners, but I won't name names on this podcast, but you guys know who I'm thinking of, at least one of them. But, you know, don't think that just because you're, you know, making some noise on social media that doesn't always translate to dollars. And if you can find a way that they can translate to dollars, then of course the thing that you love has a better shot of surviving. Figure out ways to translate things to dollars. And if you can't, unfortunately, sometimes it's out of, most of the times, actually, not just sometimes, almost all the time, it's out of your control.
And while we're talking about money, just remember that awards are all about who has really good PR publicity and can get their stuff seen. Like, there are so many things like critics and voters and everybody who gets all this stuff. They get like gifts sent to them from the film, like the screenplays and extra little goodies and for your consideration packets. So there was the year that the Tom Ford sent the Golden Globes, like his own like personal colognes and stuff, and they had to return them because part of it was like an actual bribe issue.
Yeah.
So you have to work, like, people are bribed all the time. There's tons of fancy parties and dinners, and the Globe voters get to see some movies before others. Like, I'm convinced on the film side that they got to see The Little Things before everybody else because Jared Leto's nomination is silly as heck.
Yeah, I don't know enough about film to have thoughts, but I just, every time I see Jared Leto, I'm just like, his name being nominated for things, I'm just like, really though? And that was something interesting again too, that I saw, that was the idea that this year shifted the way that shows and people could campaign because of the fact that because of COVID, there weren't the opportunities to wine and dine the people that they usually do. So obviously,
but they still got presents and virtual screenings and Q&A
presents. Guys, like, there's ways that people, it is bribery without the word bribery. Okay.
Like, I'm a member of Film Independent and I get some of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which is the Golden Globes. I get a lot of the FYC emails for international films and other films and stuff. I get a bunch of the invites to Q&As. I've helped. Jen's been my plus one to the Ted Lasso Q&A. That was for Golden Globe and SAG voters.
Well, and we were members of the Broadcast Television Journalists Association a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's a member of that will tell you, it was like Christmas every day. I was getting packages to my house of like screeners and like cute little gifts. I still have one of the like ice cream bowls that like The Good Place sent. And it's ways to encourage the awareness of their show. And it's not, you know, it's you're getting swag. Like, people are getting free swag and you tweet about and you talk about their show and that's the end goal. And in the case of the like awards panels and things like that, then you vote for their movie or you vote for their show or you vote for their performer, because obviously that is a tactic. It's a PR tactic and it works, as evidenced by a lot of the nominees, not just this year, but every year for the Globes. I mean, historically.
And it's not just the Globes. It's Globes, SAG, Oscar, random critics groups. Like, you could be a regional critic and still be getting a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm part of Film Independent, so I get screeners for everything nominated and invites to different virtual events this year.
Yeah.
And in-person ones and, you know, more traditional years.
Yeah. Yeah, I just keep in mind that everything comes down to money. And that's really, unfortunately, the world that we live in. So, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising, but I feel like especially when you see nominees and when you see kind of these lists come out, just put that into perspective. It's about money. It's a little bit about racism, always. And so, you know, those are the things that are going to be reflected in the shows or the films or the performers that do or don't get onto the ballot. So, Chelsea, this seems like a good a time as any to start transitioning to said ballot. So we're going to talk primarily about TV. We're going to throw in some of my bullet points about film because some TV stars were in films. And
That is true.
Yeah.
So I will go through the Golden Globe TV categories. Yes. And because Jen watches way more, way more TV than me, she can tell me what she thinks of the Saltine Box nominees. So Jen, would you like to do comedy or drama first?
Let's start off with comedy. I usually have more thoughts.
And my dogs have so many thoughts right now.
I was going to say, goodness.
Best performance in a television series, musical or comedy. We're going to go with lead actor first. We have Don Cheadle for Black Monday, Nicholas Holt for The Great, Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, and Rami Yusuf for Rami. So last year, Rami Yusuf won for Rami. What do you think of these nominees? I know you've watched at least two of these shows.
Yeah. So weird. I mean, maybe I'll have to try it again. I tried to start watching The Great and I was not interested within the first. I think I probably stuck it out for like 15, 20 minutes and I was just bored. So maybe I have to give it another shot. But because of the fact that Nicholas Holt was nominated in this and the SAG, I feel like usually if I see a lot of overlap, it means that they're warranted. And from what I've heard, his performance is warranted. That being said, Ted Lasso is my favorite thing. One of my favorite things. I can't say my favorite thing for sure, because I Think I May Destroy You is my favorite thing. But Ted Lasso is probably one of the best things I watched in the last year. It is just, it's everything that I needed a show in 2020 to be with a comedy. It's so heartfelt and it's so wonderful. And 100%, obviously, Jason Sudeikis is the lead and why that show, I think, works so well. So as much as I do love Schitt's Creek got a lot this year with their awards. So I really do think that Jason has a good shot of winning this one for Ted Lasso. I mean, I haven't watched Rami, but I obviously, because it was so renowned last year, I do wonder if they're going to give it to Ted Lasso for this year because of how critically and audience-wise talked about the show was.
Yeah,
it just got renewed for like two more seasons. Like,
there you go.
So I don't know. I love Jason Sudeikis. He gave a really great performance this year. So I would like to see it go to him. And I really can't think of any other actors necessarily that I would have added into that category. I feel like that's a pretty solid category.
And like, usually the Globes and both actor and actress, they're really good about recognizing freshman shows and freshman performers.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of this. The Great was snubbed completely at the Emmys, even though it's a very big budget comedy show with stars in it.
So yeah.
I do think it'll do better here because it's a little bit more British and Hollywood Foreign Press Association really loves their British shows, so it could be an upset, but I know Apple is putting so much money behind Ted Lasso, and it is a fan favorite.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Or Schitt's Creek could pull an Emmys. And just,
I mean, Schitt's Creek could just pull Schitt's Creek could pull a Schitt's Creek and just take over the Globes as well.
I wouldn't be fine with it.
I would be okay with it. You know. Love Ted Lasso, though. So,
alrighty. For actress, you have Lily Collins and Emily in Paris, Kaley Cuoco, The Flight Attendant, Elle Fanning, The Great, Jane Levy, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek, and last year's winner was Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag, and that also took comedy series. So that is not in contention.
First of all, I need to finally catch up because I think I left a couple episodes unwatched last year for Zoe's. But I am very excited that Jane Levy got a nom for Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. She is the heart of that show. She carries it. She's hilarious. I mean, you know, from Suburgatory. Come on.
Suburgatory was my show. She should have been nominated like back in the day for that.
We're going to play the same game of Jane Levy secretly for Suburgatory.
For Suburgatory.
As we did with the Emmys.
I am a little sad Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist didn't make it into the series category. I know that's coming up, but I feel like 10 years ago, show, it would have swept everything.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so weird to me because there are so many network shows that are completely off this list that I, again, 10 years ago, even maybe a little bit less than 10 years ago, we would have seen Zoey's Extraordinary Playlist. We would have seen so many different network comedies, but because yeah. they're also dwindling, it's so interesting to me to see which ones people
nominate. And this is the only network performer in any of the lead categories for the comedy side.
Crazy. We're going to talk about this when we talk about the SAGs, because the SAG has a very different love for a show that is not represented in the Golden Globes at all. Mm-hmm. And so I just found that so fascinating. But I mean, Golden Globes love the great. So I feel like
It could be Elle Fanning because she's a star, but also everybody seemed to love the flight attendant and Kaley Cuoco.
I don't know what it is. I haven't watched it, but I've heard so much buzz about it.
And it is pretty good. Like, I'm notoriously not a big Kaley Cuoco fan, but yeah. she's actually very good at it. And I think it's because she has a good part.
We're going to talk about that when we talk about the SAG, because this category is very interesting in SAG, and I want to compare and contrast in terms of splitting the vote potentially in this category. But I wouldn't put it past Kaley Cuoco to potentially get the win for this. However, if the Golden Globes are going to pull an Emmys, I mean, Catherine O'Hara is still...
She's right there, and everybody seems to love Schitt's Creek. Like, when they were doing the SAG announcements, Lily Collins and David Dix talked about it. And speaking of which, Lily Collins is here, and she's a Premier Globe nominee for the film comedy category.
Yeah, Lily Collins is here. And so when we talk about comedy series, I'm going to share what my sister, who is the only one of the two of us who actually watched Emily in Paris, how she felt having watched Emily in Paris being and hearing that it was nominated.
I will say, the moment I saw that the show was dropped and everybody was talking about it, it wasn't positive, I'm like, oh, she's getting a Globe nomination. That is it's a Globes move.
I think that she is in too hard of a category to get this one, though. I don't know. I mean, 2021 can do anything. We've realized this already, but I would put it at getting at Kaley Cuoco because, again, she seems to have a little bit more, I don't know.
There's more prestige with her momentum. Plus, she's a very popular person from Big Bang Theory. Yes. So
I feel like the show itself has gotten enough momentum among critics that I feel like she probably has a good shot. But honestly, it's hard to say. I could literally see either Kaylee or Catherine. I feel like Catherine O'Hara has still a good shot because she's.
I would love Moira to win everything
again. If any of them
right now, so
any of them, so yeah.
So let's go to musical or comedy series. We have Emily in Paris, The Flight Attendant, The Great, Schitt's Creek, or Ted Lasso. So usually, to win one of these categories, you also have to win a lead actor. And so, who do you think? What do you think is going to be the duo?
Honestly, I think it's either going to be Schitt's Creek or Ted Lasso. I could be surprised. And I would say dark horse for me is The Flight Attendant. If Kaley Cuoco wins her award, I would say that's a possibility. But I will say, my sister watched Emily in Paris. And when I told her that it was nominated for Golden Globes, she literally said, in what categories? And I said, in lead actress and in show. And she's like, I mean... it's not, no, why is that a thing? And she's like, that would be like, Jen, that would be like you reading the Golden Globes list and seeing Gossip Girl nominated for a Golden Globe Award. And I was like, she's like, it's entertaining, but it's not good. And I was like, that's the perfect comparison, actually. It would be like us reading through and being like, Gossip Girl was nominated? Okay.
But we do have to remember the Globes love young white women. So
I mean,
Kaley
Cuoco, that's what I'm saying though. If they're going to go with young white women, I feel like Kaley Cuoco is there for the sake of them putting on the air of prestige, if they were going to say that. Cause I feel like, look, I could be wrong. Emily in Paris could get a win. And then I will eat these words.
Luckily, Netflix is notoriously bad at winning any of the series categories, notoriously bad. And what The Flight Attendant is HBO Max, and HBO's generally really good at winning awards, like just across the board. So I honestly do think The Flight Attendant, I have a weird feeling about it.
Interesting. I mean, look.
It doesn't mean I want it. It just means I have a feeling.
I have a feeling that Kaylee will win that category. And I don't know why I have a feeling, but I mean, it could win overall too, but I really think that people loved, and I can't tell if people are going to be like burnt out on Schitt's Creek, because at this point it's not that old, but in comparison to all these other shows, it's older. I mean, The Great, I guess, is actually like, I mean, it's only one season. So what I'm saying is Schitt's Creek has been on for a long time, whereas
But it hasn't been nominated for a long time. Like, this is, I think, the first year of the Globes, or maybe the second year. Maybe Catherine O'Hara was nominated before. I don't think she was. I can't tell
if they're going to be all, like, flash and new, or, like, let's go with something everyone will agree is good and go with Schitt's Creek. But honestly, I feel like I love Ted Lasso. I feel like Ted Lasso as a comedy was so cohesive and so well written this past year. And it just hit all the right notes. It was literally, most people were describing it as like the balm to 2020. But I don't know that that translates to people who actually make these decisions saying that it's the best. And
here's the people making the decisions of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. No one really knows who they are, but it's about 75 to 100 random people who are like photojournalists and reporters for in-flight magazines, like that type of person that you're wining and dining and bribing. So being famous really does help. They like to make their mark. They like to be different than the Emmys, but that also doesn't mean anything, because Schitt's Creek is nominated, like all four rows family members are nominated, and series, which is very rare for a show to get the 5 nominations at the Globes. Usually it is one or two, but we'll see what happens. It is the first time Schitt's Creek's been nominated at the Globes.
That's the thing. It's like, it's the first and only time it's been nominated. And same thing with the Emmys. Like, that was, no one expected Schitt's Creek to sweep all of its awards. There were like,
we really thought it would be Catherine.
Yeah. We really legitimately go back and listen to that episode. We were not convinced that it was going to get more than like one win. So it's hard to say. It's really unpredictable, which is kind of very interesting, because of the fact that like, we don't really know if there's going to be a difference between the way that the Emmys ended up and the way that the Globes ended up. Schitt's Creek obviously is deserving, and I think that unanimously people agree that Schitt's Creek was a really funny show from start to finish. And this past year, it really like was brought into higher consciousness. So I think that that's why obviously this year it's getting its noms. But I mean, people love new and shiny. And if you're talking big names when it comes to like, at least the lead actor and lead actress, I mean, Kaley Cuoco being on a long running show, being on HBO Max now and HBO, and like Jason Sudeikis is like, you don't have to know much to know like, oh, I know that person's name. I feel like they have a good shot there, but again,
we'll see. I feel like Nicholas Holt could take it.
I would be very intrigued to see that. I mean, because I could see that. I could see anything happening, really, which is just the joy of 2021 is, well, what if none of what we predicted actually happens? I haven't heard much buzz about The Great in a very long time.
Well, it aired last spring.
See, there you go.
In the very early pandems.
Mm-hmm. So.
You want to talk drama?
Let's see if I had any.
Did not watch anything, but I feel like I could guess who wins.
Let's see.
So the nominees for drama actor are Jason Bateman for Ozark, Josh O'Connor, The Crown, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, Al Pacino for Hunters, and Matthew Reese for Perry Mason.
I literally watched none of those shows. I don't know. They love The Crown, don't they? They love.
Honestly, I was going to say it's probably going to be
The Crown. Who does? Everyone loves The Crown. I've never seen. No, that's not true. I've seen like one or two episodes of like the first season.
I saw the first two seasons and it was fine.
You saw more than I did. I really was bored. I was bored.
A lot
like
of laundry.
Yeah, but like you said, hearkening back, they love British shows. Clearly,
They do. They do. They do. See, we are so bored with drama, honestly.
That's the thing is, like, I just feel so bored with these categories. It's like the same people. I'm like, you're still on the show. This show is still on the air. Like, maybe I just had too much. I had too much heaviness.
I'm not going to watch Ozark. I notoriously do not like it because it misrepresents my home region.
Which is so weird that the awards love Ozark so much. Like, that's the one thing that I'm like, do you all just not watch any other shows? Like,
they don't.
Every year Ozark is on here. Every year?
And Julia Garner is the only one who wins, which I'm fine with because she's been amazing for a long time and other things that I do like, so I won't quibble. I think drama Can we lead get to- actress is a little more fun, though.
Yeah.
Because there's Olivia Colman for The Crown. And fun fact, Olivia Colman has been she's been nominated for 5 Golden Globes. 2 of them are for nominations this year because she's got a film nomination. She's won 3 out of 3 so far. So, and I think she could win the other 2 this year. But let me get to the other nominees. Jodie Comer for Killing Eve. Emma Corrin for The Crown, and she plays Princess Diana. Laura Linney and Sarah Paulson for Ratched.
Okay, let me just say, I guess I expected Ratched to get some sort of nomination on here, but from what I've heard, it's garbage. So why did we expect anything else?
I attempted to watch it, even though it is a Ryan Murphy property, and I didn't even predict it because it was so bad. But then I forgot the Golden Globes love Ryan Murphy. No matter how bad it is.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess money is why. Would this have been the category? Technically, would she have been a lead actress in terms of Journey Smollett? I feel like would she qualify as lead? Okay. So no Journey Smollett means that I need to yell because as I said back in our Emmys, if she doesn't get an award this year, I would yell and I will spare you sitting close to the microphone and yelling. But how about I go a little bit further? She deserved awards. My goodness.
The fact that they nominated her show and not her is stupid. I hate them.
She did so much good work on that show. Like, consistent.
2020 was her year between it and Birds of Prey.
Yes. And we were like, you cannot deny, which is such a slander, like Lovecraft Country getting a nom, but not Journey Smollett getting nominated for her work. Like, seriously.
She is the show.
She is. And she like broke your heart into a million pieces. She was like, she was perfect in the show. And I don't understand what were you doing?
And the shitty part is somebody Paulson from The Crown is going to win. And it's, I feel like Princess Diana's going to win. Sorry, Olivia Colman. I love you in so many things, especially your award show speeches. But
did The Crown really deserve 2 noms in this category?
I mean, I love both of those actresses. Well, I love Olivia Colman and I like Emma Corrin. She's fine. But like, there are other shows than The Crown.
That's the thing. That's the thing that really bugs me is like, there are better other shows. Like, I know that we passed comedy and I forgot to mention this, but the fact that there was no Issa Rae or Tracy Ellis Ross in that category.
And here's the thing. Issa Rae has been nominated before. Tracy Ellis Ross won. And on Gold Derby, where you can go do TV award show predictions and stuff, I predicted Issa Rae in both the SAGs and the Globes. And she wasn't nominated and her show wasn't. And I'm so mad about it because year after year, show after show, she is overlooked.
She is. And the thing that I will say is that Insecure this past season was phenomenal. Like, it was unanimous among audiences and critics that like, this is a solid season that is like, and it was an award worthy season, especially because Issa Rae put in so much work in doing not just the comedy, but like the emotional heavy lifting of her stories this past season. Like,
it's a show that gives you everything and is one of those groundbreaking, beautiful shows about female friendship that we don't get. And you know what? Award shows just don't feel right without it. I know award shows are stupid, but they're less stupid when they go to the right people. And Issa Rae is the right person. Journey Smollett is the right person.
Yes, absolutely. Issa Rae and Journey Smollett deserved to be in the Globes noms. And honestly, Journey deserved to win a Golden Globe for that performance.
She deserves to win everything. Issa deserves to win.
Like, yes.
Because honestly, it's either Catherine O'Hara or Issa for me at any given moment, as long as one of the two wins, and Issa deserves to win.
Absolutely. It just frustrates me because,
drama because you have seen so many of these dramas. And by so many, I mean you've seen two of them. There's The Crown, so of course.
Yes,
I feel like The Crown's,
of course.
Crown's probably going to win. Lovecraft Country, which, cool, at least that's nominated.
I guess.
And performers.
Freaking.
Ozark, Ratched, and I miss The Mandalorian, The Bebe Yoda Show.
You know, it's so interesting to me that The Mandalorian is nominated. I mean, it's not, as we've talked about, objectively a bad show. It's just not objectively the most interesting show. I feel like it's a very nice show. It's a fine
that
show.
Is not complicated.
No.
And Baby Yoda is cute.
Yes.
It is not a thought-provoking or reinventing the wheel show.
When I think of dramas, just a
60s Western.
When I think of dramas, like, obviously it definitely deserves to, like, get noms for, like, the way that it does behind the scenes work and all of that stuff. That's incredible for sure.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that kind of so stuff. Many of those technical
that
Emmys.
Technical
and
awards.
I hope Lovecraft Country wins them next year. So
I enjoy The Mandalorian, but I'm just like, interesting choice, I guess. Honestly, Lovecraft Country deserves to win, but let's be real, The Crown is going to win.
It's going to be The Crown. It was The Crown's most popular season. It's the Princess Diana season. So,
I mean, and honestly, like, yeah, I think that as much as I want the one nom for Lovecraft Country to be the win that it gets, I don't think that it's going to win. I think that The Crown is.
Yeah, it's just British. It's
fine.
Quote unquote popular. I feel like people only watch Netflix this year and tossed in one HBO show.
Maybe that's because everyone just like lost all the rest of their subscriptions this year. Like, we're canceling everything else besides Disney Plus and Netflix. Okay.
Because we are big HBO stands and they need to pay us or at least give us free accounts.
HBO Max, you tweet our account every time. And I mean, it's over now. Salida and Jeff has done its second season and it was delightful. But please, please sponsor us so that we can continue to talk about how great your programming is because we love it.
So if we want to briefly go over some of the miniseries stuff, because I guarantee you've not seen a single one of these male performances.
Well, okay. So what I have to find before we start miniseries, or is it miniseries, limited series, the same?
Best performance in a miniseries or television film.
Okay, so this is where I would like some interest, maybe that you have knowledge of that I don't. In the SAG Awards, I May Destroy You and Michaela Cole are represented, but they're technically in limited series. Would that have been the case for Golden Globes? What would it have constituted as? Would it have been in this miniseries category? Because
yes.
Okay.
So as far as we all know, I May Destroy You is a limited series. We don't, it's not been renewed for a second season or anything. This is where it would be.
Okay. So anyway, all that to say that this whole category is invalid because it doesn't include I May Destroy You. Continue with your nominees. I don't think I know any single person. Although
here's the thing, we don't watch shows about men.
I mean, that's
Ted Lasso aside.
Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is a ray of sunshine, and that show has so much it destroys toxic masculinity. It features amazing, wonderful stories. Anyway, watch Ted Lasso.
There's stories about female friendship in it even.
Yes,
so.
And they're wonderful and it's central. And that was, sorry, I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but I will say that if you have not watched the Ted Lasso Q&A, which Chelsea mentioned earlier, that is moderated by Yvette Nicole Brown, whom we love and adore, and who loves and adores this show, watch it because they do talk about how that was not just something that was an afterthought. That was a very intentional move on Bill Lawrence and Jason Sudeikis' part to make the show about female friendship. Even though it's
don't worry, we have a Ted Lasso episode. We'll have to have one soon.
Even though it stars a male main character. That was intentional, and I love to hear it. Now on to the men, I guess.
Honestly, I feel like this is my Rebecca, where I will never get through it. Branston, Your Honor, Jeff Daniels, The Comey Rule, Hugh Grant, The Undoing, Ethan Hawke, The Good Lord Bird, Mark Ruffalo. I know this much is true. Mark Ruffalo won the Emmy, but Emmys and Globes rarely line up. Jen, you've not seen a single one of these, have you?
I have not seen a single one of these. I have not heard of most of them. I have heard of the Mark Ruffalo one and the one before that. That was the only one.
The Ethan Hawke one?
What was that name?
Or the Hugh Grant one? The Good Lord Bird or The Undoing?
I did hear good things about The Good Lord Bird. Yes, that is weird because I think that the title stands out to me. But I, like, for some reason, I saw some critics buzzing about that. And then I only know about the Mark Ruffalo because I think I saw, like, a poster for Mark Ruffalo.
You saw him win an Emmy, so.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, Mark Ruffalo.
Honestly, we don't care. I'm cheering for Ethan Hawke because I like him. And he makes my favorite film trilogy, so.
I have literally zero opinions on this category.
Okay, Jen, get ready for your righteous anger. And yeah. I can bring up my past angers, so sure. Get ready.
Sure.
The Kate Blanchett, Mrs. America, for Phyllis Schlafly, whom I hate.
Ugh.
I'm hot on record. I'm pretty sure I went off on this podcast about
it. You did.
Daisy Edgar Jones for Normal People. Kind of a delightful nominee.
You know,
Shira Haas for Unorthodox, Nicole Kidman, The Undoing, of course, Nicole Kidman, whatever. Oh, no. And then Anya Taylor-Joy, The Queen's Gambit, which I would have guessed after it was like the most popular Netflix show.
Absolutely. And honestly, Anya Taylor-Joy is a revelation in that show. I cannot say a bad thing about her in that show. However, I will say one of these white women needs to be replaced with Michaela Cole because she gave solidly the best performance in TV last year, and I will stand on that hill and I will yell about that.
And I'm going to volunteer our two Oscar winners to just take themselves out of this category. Nicole Kidman for The Undoing, a show that is not very good, even though I like Hugh Grant in it. And then I love Kate Blanchett. She's one of my favorite actresses. Mm-mm. But Mrs. America ain't it, girl.
Mm-mm.
And it's not even her fault. It's just a bad series and poorly written. And I don't even think it serves her. So I would take out our Oscar winners and we'll just put Michaela Cole in there twice.
Yeah.
You know what? No, wait. Kerry Washington.
We need to put her in here too. Thank you.
Never Kerry mind. Washington. I just remembered I'm angry.
Kerry Washington and Michaela Cole can get swapped out with Nicole Kidman and Kate Blanchett. And that would have been a pretty perfect category. Like, I have not watched Normal People, but I've heard really good things about it. And a lot of people I know who love the show were really excited for its nom. So good on
them. You know, for a straight people show, it's not bad.
Okay. But for sure, oh my gosh, Kerry Washington was so incredible in Little Fires Everywhere. And for sure, as I have said, Michaela Cole deserves every possible award. And the fact that she will get zero Golden Globes is a travesty, honestly.
And honestly, I do think Anya Taylor-Joy is going to win because Queen's Gambit was so popular and she's just one of those performers that's really popping off. She's been in a lot of successful films and it just feels like that's what they're going to do. Also, the Golden Globes love to reward an ingenue, a young woman. So get ready for that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was what Netflix is like most popular show. Like it spiked Google searches of like chess for... I don't know. I will say I did not expect anything going into the show and I was very captivated by it. Out of all the performers that are in that category, I do think that she will win.
I'm personally cheering for Shira Haas from Unorthodox, which is a really, really good show. And I'm always like just surprised when it shows up because I'm like, oh, they actually went for it.
Mm.
So before we go to supporting categories, because those are chaos that we can explain, let's just go through best miniseries or television film because I'm going to have to explain one because not all of our listeners are big film weirdos like me.
No.
So we have Normal People on Hulu. Pretty good show.
Mm-hmm.
Queen's Gambit, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's called Small Axe. It's an anthology of films. So it's a 5-film series, but it's a TV thing because the director, Academy Award winner Steve McQueen, director of 12 Years a Slave. He won Best Picture. He wanted to make the show as like all of his films accessible so his mom back home could watch them. So Amazon Prime Video, and I think it was the BBC, they put them on television just so people could actually see them, which I love. And they're very, very, very great films. Then there's The Undoing on HBO, the Nicole Kidman show. Of course, it's nominated. And Unorthodox, my pleasantly happy show.
I mean, it could be a surprise, but I would assume Queen's Gambit is also going to take this one.
I think it's either going to be Queen's Gambit or they're going to go with the movie stars and go with The Undoing. Yeah. Even though everybody seemed disappointed with the show. I read how it ends. I don't care.
Never heard of it before. I was just like, there's so many shows I learned about from
it's an awards. HBO show. It's not an HBO Max.
That's why I haven't heard of it. It's not on HBO Max. I'm not watching it.
It is technically on HBO Max, but we're not watching that.
Okay.
There's too many Turner classics.
That's true.
So least favorite bunching of things. Best supporting performance in a series, miniseries, or a TV film. So you could be a drama supporting actor or actress, a comedy supporting performer, or from a miniseries, or from a TV film. And there are only five slots.
How are these competitions?
Four different kinds of like lengths and categories.
Not doing
five slots.
Stop. Anyway, let's go through the chaos.
Let's go through it because I don't know how you compare some of these performances.
Yeah.
Supporting actor, we have John Boyega for Small Axe. He is in one of the anthology films. And here's the thing. If, say, you are in an anthology film or an anthology series like Modern Love last year.
Yeah.
If you are only in one segment of your anthology, you're considered supporting, even if you're the lead actor of a film or like one part of it. If you're the lead actor, you're considered supporting because you're only in one small part of the whole.
That's so,
it's so dumb.
That's so
and complicated.
That's very complicated.
So yes, John Boyega, great performance in Small Axe. Go watch all five of them, everybody. Not at once. It'll hurt your heart. Brendan Gleeson for the Comey role, where he plays President Trump. Then hard left turn, Dan Levy for Schitt's Creek. Then we're going to take another turn, Jim Parsons for Hollywood, a mini series.
Oh, I would
Donald
see that.
Like, for The Undoing.
This is like, you got like whiplash halfway through the nominees. I mean, how
so we have a performer from a television film anthology. And then we have three mini series, and then we have a comedy supporting
what's actor. The logic between... Like, what's the logic behind putting all of these together besides limiting the amount of awards that are given out?
The Golden Globes only cares about TV stars because so many of these people are either past winners or movie stars. Like, John Boyega is one of the leads of Star Wars. Who should have treated him better?
Yes.
Dan Levy is in the hottest show of the moment and just hosted SNL. Jim Parsons is a previous winner of a very popular show and in a Ryan Murphy series. Donald Sutherland is an iconic actor and I love him.
I mean, how do you
know good grandpa vibes?
How do you know who's gonna get this though?
I mean, you just take like a Dungeons and Dragons die and you just keep rolling it and then
you roll it,
you play Twister.
Okay. And you now create six different timelines and there's one winner for each timeline. I want to live in the timeline where
it's a very small amount of people voting. So.
Can I live in the timeline where Dan Levy wins? I want to see what happens in that timeline. Because I don't know. There's literally like anyone could win that one, but for very different reasons than our other. I feel like out of all of the Schitt's Creek cast, well, I mean, we're going to get to Annie Murphy in a sec. Those two are like, here you go. Let me stack all the odds against you. Not only are you're not going to be in a category with people who are doing the same work as you. You're going to be in a category of all kinds of people, including like.
And like, it doesn't need to be said that Dan and Annie are also leads of the show, even more so than the parents.
I love Eugene and I love Catherine O'Hara, but like, this was really David and Alexis's story in the end.
Especially the last season.
Yes. So anyway, I don't know. I could.
Do you want to go to chaotic supporting actress and then we'll just flip a coin and see who wins?
I mean, do you have like six different coins? I literally am going to create six different timelines, and I'm going to say Dan Levy. You know what?
We're going to manifest. Let's manifest Dan Levy or Donald Sutherland, because he's somebody who's never even been nominated for an Oscar or anything. He's a legendary actor and I love him.
Can we manifest not Jim Parsons, not because of not being for Jim Parsons, but not being for Ryan Murphy's Hollywood?
Also, he's not good in the role. So
anyway,
it's a bad show.
Chaos into the,
you know what?
Female.
I'm going to cheer for Dan Levy and John Boyega.
Yeah, let's do that. John Boyega secretly for Star Wars. Which
secretly, they did. And this Small Axe series does really well by him, his film. So everyone just go watch all of them. I'm not going to say which one John Boyega's in because I want you to watch all of them and find out.
There you go. All right, so let's stir. What could be more chaotic?
Get ready, because poor Annie Murphy, maybe this will work to her advantage. So you have Gillian Anderson for The Crown playing Margaret Thatcher, one of the worst humans in history. Mm. Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown playing Princess Margaret, one of the most chaotically fun people in recent history.
She's so fun.
Julia Garner for Ozark, a show but you know what? Julia Garner was also really good in The Assistant, which is currently streaming on Hulu. It's a very short film. It's a hard watch. I am not going to lie.
Okay.
When I say it is my uncut gems, it stresses me out.
Ooh.
It's a very deliberately paced.
Ooh.
Stressful
saying something
for women.
Like having Chelsea be like, this stresses me out is one of those things where I'm like, oh no, that takes a lot.
It's on Hulu. Everyone go watch it. It's like an hour and a half long, maybe even shorter than that. Who knows? And then the one bright spot of comedy, Annie Murphy for Schitt's Creek for my favorite character, Alexis Rose. And then Cynthia Nixon for Ratchet.
Do we think Crown is going to split its vote here and like maybe that'll work in her favor? Because I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, Helena Bonham Carter didn't win last year whenever she had more to do. Gillian Anderson is a great actress. I hate Margaret Thatcher, and people giving any reason to put her on television annoys me. So no, thank you.
I mean, I think that Annie Murphy does have a better shot than
she's the only comedy in a bunch of drama.
I feel like Annie Murphy has a better shot in this category than Dan does in his category.
Oh, for sure, because there's actual options and some good performances from John Boyega to pair with him. And you know what? Dan will be considered a winner for series if they do win series. So
true.
I really want Annie Murphy going into this with a win.
I agree.
Alexis is my favorite. You know,
Alexis is the best. She's my fave too. She's the best. I think she does have a good shot in that one. Honestly, I think that they probably won't go with, they haven't already gone with The Crown in that category at this point. And there's been more to do than I don't think they'll go with The Crown. And
unless they go with Gillian Anderson, which I fear.
I don't know, maybe.
And if Julia Garner wins, I'm going to pretend it's for The Assistant.
Okay. I approve.
I'm stressed about the Globes are stressful, aren't they?
There's a lot that is stressful about the Globes.
It reminds me, I'm never going to watch all of this crap.
I know. I'm going to give a few highlights for me of Globes things that are film that I know that you will go into more depth in. But before we move on to SAG Awards, because those are an interesting brand of semi-chaos.
Yep.
But I mean, look, I was happy to see Over the Moon and Soul represented at the Globes because I adore Over the Moon and I thought that it was very sweet.
And I'm going to recommend to you Wolfwalkers.
Okay.
It's on Apple TV. It is an animated film. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think you'll really like it. And then I've actually seen The Croods, A New Age, because you know I'm surrounded by children at most times of my life. And it's actually really good. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I really enjoyed Soul. I thought Over the Moon was just super fun because it was just, I mean, one, we love a cast of representation and we love a cast that's got Ken Jeong, and Ken Jeong sings and the music is delightful.
Yeah.
And yes, he's got such a delightful voice. Anyway, I was just really happy to see Over the Moon represented. I love that Hamilton is still out here getting awards in 2021.
And I know it makes people mad, but you know what? It's not even the worst thing nominated.
Dude, y'all were streaming it when it dropped on Disney Plus last summer. Don't pretend otherwise. You were like, I just love, and I know that people are like, but it's for the musical that's been gone for this many years. And
go listen to our Hamilton episode. I break down why it's technically a film.
It is, and you predicted.
You don't have to like it, but I'm right.
You predicted this.
I did.
Yeah, I do love that. I just love seeing Hamilton getting awards in 2021.
When I'm right, I'm right.
When you're right, you're right. I think that Andy Samberg, speaking of TV people who are in movies, I think that Andy Samberg was one of the only people who could pull off effectively Palm Springs, even though you and I talked about this and I found the movie to just be meh, but Kristen Milioti deserved a nom because
she carries the film on her back.
Yes.
She is the emotional through line of the film.
Yes. And I love Andy Samberg. And I think that he's...
I do. Golden Globe winner, Andy Samberg.
But I think Kristen Milioti definitely should have been nominated.
Especially considering her competition includes Kate Hudson as Kazoo Gamble in the horrible Sia film Music.
That's the film
where she attacked people, like autistic people and autistic performers on Twitter in tweets that were only recently deleted. So
really, Kristen Milioti should have been in that category. I would have. And speaking of Over the Moon, I did notice I would have loved to see Over the Moon represented in Best Original Song somehow, but because its music was really delightful. But
I would have loved to have seen On the Rocks and Rashida Jones nominated. Yes,
I just watched
one
that.
One of my favorite films of last year. I love a Sofia Coppola, but this one was just nice.
It was really nice. It was unexpected. It was very... delightful. I mean, obviously Rashida Jones and Bill Murray's chemistry is really good, and it's Rashida deserves awards and good things. And
like she's really getting a subtle performance. Yeah, and not everything's so subtle. Look at Maria Bakalova from Borat. So,
but it was a really, really good film, and it's a very tight like hour and a half, and we know we love those. Maybe like
and then don't forget, Anya Taylor-Joy's nominated here, so she's probably going to win for Queen's Gambit.
Wait.
She is nominated for Best Performance, like Best Actress Musical or Comedy. For Emma, film I did not care for, actually.
I did not either. See, that's the thing.
Which is weird, because I love Jane Austen.
The best Emma adaptation is still Clueless. I will stand by that until I... fall over off that hill.
It is the correct one.
It is the only adaptation that I was just bored with the new Emma. I was not engaged.
And I like the Gwyneth Paltrow one from 20 some odd years ago. And I'm not exactly the biggest Paltrow fan.
I don't know what didn't do it for me, but I was so bored. And usually that's not me. Usually I can power through period pieces. And it was just, even the sights and the costume, nothing was doing it for me, like interest wise. I had to pause like a billion times, and
so yet anyway, she still deserves to be here more than Kazoo Gamble.
Yeah,
Kate
I
Hudson.
Agree, 100%. So
that film can fuck off. That's our one F word this podcast.
So proud of you.
I do love seeing Chadwick for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, a great 94 minute drama.
It's a fantastic film.
And I'm sad Defy Bloods is not anywhere on here and that we have to suffer through the Trial of Chicago 7.
Ugh. Can I just say that Kingsley Benadire not getting nominated in Globes is sad to me because he was one of the best parts of One Night in Miami. And I'm glad that I got to see some One Night in Miami love. But like he, as Malcolm X, was really like... given me the performance that I wanted.
Which brings us to a really big problem in the motion picture categories, both drama and musical or comedy. Guess what flavor saltine it is?
Extra salty?
Yep. especially when you have films like Sound of Metal, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, One Night in Miami. It's not a good movie, but United States versus Billie Holiday, I still think is better than some of these, the white bread in contention.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. It's just, it's.
And it's especially stupid because they nominated Regina King for Best Director for One Night in Miami. And it's like, oh, where's your film? Your Best Directed film. One of your five Best Directed films is not in any of these. Like,
this what? Happens. This happens before. Like, this happened. I don't remember when. I mean, multiple times it happens where like a director gets nominated in that category and their film, it gets completely shut out. So it's like,
or in the case of women, their film's nominated and they're not, because
there you go.
One of the good things about the Globes this year, one of the big positives is that Emerald Fennell from Promising Young Woman, Regina King, One Night in Miami, and Chloe Zhao, sorry, Chloe, for Nomadland, are nominated. So three of five are for Best Director and only one white woman. And Nomadland, oh my goodness. I triple masked myself and saw it by myself in an IMAX theater and just kept my hands in my lap the whole time staring up. And I adored this film. I cried so many times. It was such a cathartic film
experience,
expected to really hit during the pandemic. Jen, I'm actually going to recommend it to you whenever it drops on Hulu in a couple weeks. All so, right. Yeah.
I'm down for that.
So I want either Chloe or Regina to win. Yeah. I cannot believe I don't like a David Fincher film, which makes me sad because I've really liked his last several films.
What David Fincher film is nominated?
Mank.
Oh. I've heard very not good things.
It's just boring.
Yeah, that's what I've just heard.
And then Trial of Chicago 7.
I can't wait for you to
somebody who I really have liked in the past. Trial of Chicago 7's actively bad, and I really hate it. And now I have a reputation for hating it because I compared it to Green Book. And you know what? I'm not wrong.
I want there to be a button. No, actually, wait a second. There is. I was like, why does it sound familiar? Eliza Schlesinger has this like that in one of her specials where she goes, hashtag, I am not wrong. And I was like, I want this to be.
And I've never watched her specials.
But it's.
Maybe I should.
But literally, that's one of the taglines of one of her specials. So, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna move on to the SAG Awards.
Oh, wait. I do have to say, eat shit, James Corden. The Prom is
My gosh. I forgot. I so actively overlooked that, like, breezed right on by it in the Globes because I was like, no, not going to acknowledge that this is here.
And one last thing, because the Globes did this last year as well. They put the Lulu Wang's film, The Farewell, into Best Foreign Language Film, and it disheartened A24 so much that they submitted their American film, Minari, into Best Foreign Language Film because they knew the Globes would call it a foreign language film, even though it's a United States production. It's about a family in Arkansas. It's just a Korean family. And what did we say about the Golden Globes?
They racist.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about the SAG Award nominations because there are some notable differences. There's a lot of similarities. There's some better representation overall, which was at least comforting to read, I guess.
A little more heartening.
Little closer to where we should be. Still not quite there, but you know what?
A scotch, if you will.
Just a small pitch. A little bit less saltine in this one. But so we're going to go through and kind of talk a little bit about, again, the TV noms specifically. We'll do some brief overview of film stuff. We're going to talk about this. So there's less categories than the Globes.
There are less categories, and we're going to zoom through them real quick. But I do want to go, I want to highlight stars because
I wanted to sing that song from Xenon. Zoom. Did you want to sing it? Yes. I didn't want to sing all of it because I don't want Disney to come after me.
Goodness, no. Unless you want us to advertise for Disney Channel.
I will advertise for Disney Plus or Disney Channel. Whatever you want, Disney. You're listening anyway. Anywho.
So yes, I will. I do want to highlight that SAG actually has stunt categories. And yes. I want to highlight the outstanding performance by a stunt ensemble in a drama or comedy or drama series. There's The Boys on Prime, Cobra Kai is Netflix, Lovecraft Country HBO, The Mandalorian Disney Plus, and then Westworld on HBO, which I did not remember Westworld airing this past year. So, wow.
I mean, I guess.
Allegedly, I guess.
Allegedly. They just put it in there to be like, does anyone know actually when it aired?
It was probably before Lovecraft Country when we weren't paying attention.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
So I feel like Mandalorian, even though I am always going to be team Lovecraft Country.
Same. Mandalorian does have like incredible stunt work, though. So, and I mean, not that Lovecraft Country doesn't, but like Mandalorian is the first one that I would think of for that category in terms of
yeah, it, like,
complexity
makes,
and
it makes sense. Yeah. And then, should I get through the boring stuff first or not?
Well, I was going to say, I do actually have thoughts on stunts for film, though, man.
Yes.
Notably snubs.
You mean Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey
Award.
And The Old Guard, which I feel like should have 100% because their stunt work was phenomenal.
Especially when you have something as silly as the Trial of the Chicago 7, which technically does have stunts when you're using like smoke and everything else. That's a lot of stunt work. But like, come on.
But you know, definitely not the exact. No one would be like, you know, the level of stunt work in a Marvel film is equal to the level of stunt work in the Trial of the Chicago 7. So why no Birds of Prey? That was the most shocking, I think, thing, because I was like, if no Birds of Prey,
I feel like they just didn't push it.
And they didn't, I'm sure.
Like when Wonder Woman's getting nominated for things, a film that we're mostly just mixed on, like yeah. It's got a lot of problems, even though the stunts are good in it.
I mean, I was going to say, to be fair, stunts are good, but Birds of Prey also should have been.
Fight choreography in Birds of Prey is just so impressive and fun and propels story. I know another big snubs, Tenet, a film I have actively refused to watch, but have seen some of the stunt work in clips, and it is very impressive. So some of these are silly. So I'm just going to cheer for Defy Bloods. The nominees were Defy Bloods, Mulan, News of the World, a movie I like more than most people, Trial of Chicago 7, and Wonder Woman 1984.
I mean, Wonder Woman were fine films, but
if Warner's wanted to like push Birds of Prey for anything, I feel like it'd be sweeping technical awards like costumes and makeup. Like Suicide Squad won Best Makeup several years ago.
That's right. I remember
it won an Oscar for makeup, and I feel like Birds of Prey it's better.
I can see why they didn't want to push it in performer or film category, like.
Which I still would have pushed Margot Robbie. I think she's incredible as Harley Quinn.
I think that because of the film being so mixed reviews when it came out, that they probably did. But like for
technical work? You mean mixed as in misogynist?
Yeah, mixed as in men.
Yeah.
Mixed as in, wonder if this would have been a dude that was in the front of the film. They would have. It's the same thing with Captain Marvel. It's almost like men can't handle women being superheroes and stronger than men and in power. And
they can't. How many times a day on your timeline do you see people still debating Captain Marvel being strong to the point where WandaVision had like
the part where WandaVision literally was like, well, here you go.
WandaVision could have took him out if it wasn't for the Blitz. Or like they said she was Wanda's the strongest Avenger. And it's like, oh,
and then literally Wu was like, oh, Captain Marvel. And I was like,
and it's like a tiny moment of Disney recognizing.
Disney legitimately like recognized like, no.
And that show has a female showrunner, Jacques Schaefer, writer, director of Timer, one of the best rom-coms of the last 20 some odd years.
I just think that Birds of Prey could have taken these technical ones. Like if they would have only pushed it in the technical ones, I definitely think that they should have pushed it in the technical ones.
I don't know. Jerry Stiller could win Best Supporting Actress and I'd be fine.
I mean, I know, but I'm saying if they were looking
chaos.
I know. If they were looking for like awards with like the path of least resistance, then I think that they should have just put, at least for stunts, like, come on. Fight choreography in that was insane. Same thing with The Old Guard, which I absolutely did not know how I was going to feel about and found it to be a really fantastic, wonderful film that was captivating for the stunt work and the story, of course. But, you know, can't always get you what you want.
So I'm going to get the boring TV categories out of the way. So outstanding performance by a male actor in a drama series.
Cool.
You love my segues. Jason cool. Bateman for Ozark. Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us. Josh O'Connor, The Crown. Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul. And is it Reggie Jean Page for Bridgerton? Is that how you pronounce his
yeah,
name?
Yeah, sure. I think
I'll watch Bridgerton.
Anyway, I have a bullet point here that says, geez, everyone at the SAGs is also still holding on to Ozark and This Is Us. I haven't heard This Is Us being besides the SAG. It was not in Globes. It was not in Emmys. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it was. Was it? No.
I think Sterling K. Brown was, but that's kind of where it ends.
Weirdly, as we go back to talk about network TV shows, this one seems to be the one that people are still holding on to. I stopped watching This Is Us quite a number of years ago.
I stopped during season one. And then I've watched here and there, but, you know, nothing substantive.
It just, I don't know. I always feel like awards have this problem, and these are very common of, like, same thing with why are we hearing Ozark and Better Call Saul's been on for how many years now? Not saying that it's not deserving, not saying that these things are not deserving. It's just funny to me that I hear the same things getting nominated every year.
And not the sad part is Bob Odenkirk never wins anything.
I know, but it's like perennial nominees, which take up slots from freshman noms every single year. Drama seems to be the one that really is, drama male categories are the ones that these.
So yeah, it is nice to see the two, The Crown and then the Bridgerton boys.
I mean, Bridgerton getting noms is very interesting in terms of the mm-hmm. SAG Awards, but
we do have to think that Jason Bateman and Sterling K. Brown are previous winners of this category, and SAG likes previous winners.
That'll probably be Jason Bateman, let's be real.
I don't really know
that much about This Is Us this year, so I can't say if Sterling K. Brown has done, like, if his stories have been bigger or more central. Let us know. I've stopped watching the show.
I'm not sure for Bob Odenkirk because he never wins anything. He's the bridesmaids of every award show.
Oh, I want that. Bob Odenkirk, the bridesmaid of every award show.
My Little Women is like two lines in Little Women. Oof. But let's go to the Netflix category of outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series. And here I go. Gillian Anderson, Olivia Colman, Emma Corrin for The Crown, Julia Garner and Laura Linney for Ozark. So
does no one watch any other dramas besides Ozark and The Crown?
They just like autoplay.
I literally think that, like, reading again, I was like, I don't. One of these shows,
I feel like,
is
Julia
win.
Garner's going to win just sure. because.
People probably
either
love
her or Olivia Colman, maybe.
The Crown, I don't know.
Because Julia Garner's won a couple Emmys. Olivia Colman has won an Oscar and several Golden Globes and is also in contention on the film side for the film The Father. So we'll see. Sure. She's never won. She did not win last year at the SAG Awards. Jennifer Aniston won. So we'll see. But this is a pretty new category because Olivia Colman's the only returning person. I mean, returning from last year, Laura Linney's been nominated years ago for the other two seasons of Ozark, but not the third. Julia Garner was also nominated 2 years ago, but, you know, we'll
see.
I'm going
to say it's either going to be someone from The Crown or it's going to be someone from Ozark.
I hope you're right.
Or it's going to either be someone from Ozark or it's going to be someone from The Crown.
I feel like it's going to be one of the young people from Ozark or the young people from The Crown. And now.
This is so bad. It's just so boring. Like, it's so boring that you're like, cool.
But do you think for a drama series, it's going to be The Crown or Ozark or Bridgerton or Better Call Saul or Lovecraft Country, which should be another category, but isn't because
I know
people only watched other actresses.
I don't know why, but I feel like Lovecraft Country has a better shot at the SAG Awards for some reason. I mean, I know that they're nominated in ensemble, right? Like, that's the
This is what I'm talking about.
Okay, ensemble. Okay.
It's Better Call Saul, Bridgerton, Crown, Lovecraft Country, Ozark. And I mean, usual thing was you just say who has the biggest cast wins, but all of these are really big casts, and a lot of them have known stars. Like Lovecraft Country has Michael Kenneth Williams and Jurie Smollett and Jonathan Majors, who's a double nominee because he's nominated for Defy Floods. But then you also have Ozark. Shark in Every Crown, which has won this before.
I would say it's either between The Crown or Lovecraft Country, I think, this year. I would hope that it's Lovecraft Country, but...
I hope you're right.
Who knows?
The Crown won last year, but...
But now they have... The season has Diana, so that might set them over the edge of The Crown love this year. But I really hope that Lovecraft Country gets it, because it deserves it, because their ensemble is phenomenal.
And now we're going to go to the categories that does not have an ensemble award. We're going to go to outstanding performance by a male actor in a television movie or limited series. And I forgot to say about the SAG Awards, much like the Golden Globes, they're kind of dumb. Over on SAG, they don't do supporting awards, so it's everybody is kind of lumped together. That's why you get Julia Garner and Laura Linney in the same category and all that jazz. So we have actually some really interesting nominees. Well, I say interesting because we have Bill Camp for The Queen's Gambit, Daveed Diggs for Hamilton, Hugh Grant for The Undoing, Ethan Hawke, The Good Lord Bird, and Mark Ruffalo. I know this much is true.
I mean,
can we just vote for Hamilton?
Can I just vote for Daveed Diggs for everything? Because
he suffered through the nomination announcement, which was on an Instagram Live. They did it in an Instagram.
If you're listening to this in not 2021 and sometime in the future where the world is normal, Instagram Live is what people decided to use instead of Zoom, I guess. I don't know. In a pandemic. Anyway, Daveed Diggs for every award. So I just want Hamilton.
Especially for not being able to find Lily Collins to announce awards. And then for the two of them, they were actually very cute giving commentary on nominees.
I mean, if you can vote for Daveed Diggs, you should vote for Daveed Diggs. Or Daveed Diggs. What? Why can't I speak? That's fine.
Daveed. And then we're going to go to a category I know you like, because two people we've previously advocated for are in here. Not Cate Blanchett, but she is nominated. whatever. Nicole Kidman. Oh, whatever. Anya Taylor-Joy, somebody you like. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, she's popular. And then we have Kerry Washington for Little Fires Everywhere and the one and only Michaela Cole for I May Destroy You.
Michaela Cole deserves this. Please and thank you. Please give it to me. But I will say in their defense, I do. The last three noms are great choices. Queen's Gambit is phenomenal because of Anya's performance. She's incredibly captivating. She makes Tress seem very interesting, and her character journey is really, really good and well done. Kerry Washington brought a very different layer of a character because she is so different in the books. It was really, really cool to see her performance. She's super powerful in Little Fires Everywhere, guys. But honestly, come on. Michaela gave the best performance of last year in the most powerful show of the last year. Because this is the only thing that they're... Well, not the only thing that they're rewarding her with. Please, please and thank you, give it to her.
And then it is... It's increasingly silly every year that miniseries and TV movie and stuff that so they weird. Don't have ensemble categories. Like, it made a little bit more sense 12 years ago when there was only one or two. But now that there's all these avenues and streaming services and a new limited series every weekend, like, come on. Like, wouldn't it be brilliant for the whole ensemble of Little Fires Everywhere and I'm Gonna Destroy You and Hamilton?
Yeah.
And Queen's Gambit, even, to be nominated. Mrs. America.
Yes, exactly.
But yes.
Agreed. That's so weird. It's such an interesting choice, but...
Choices are made.
Choices.
And then, the category I'm a little bit more confident about who the winners could be. We're going to move to comedy.
Comedy?
And then all of these names are going to sound familiar because we've talked about them before. We have Nicholas Hoult for The Great, Dan Levy and Eugene for Schitt's Creek, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, Rami Youssef for Rami. So,
man, now we've got, Eugene and Dan pit against each other in this category.
Dan could take it.
It's such a toss-up because we're like, I don't know how the SAGs will... awards will vote in terms of like this category versus the Globes? Because essentially this is the same, pretty similar category to the Globes. So it's very interesting when they're almost identical to be like.
Yeah, because instead of Don Cheadle mm-hmm. and stuff, you have it's Dan Levy Dan for Levy. Supporting and the just general male actor comedy.
So then it's like, ooh, how different will you vote? Look, it's so hard. Can I just give all of them an award? Can I give them all? It's like, is that an option? I watched Schitt's Creek get so many that I'm like, I want them to keep getting awards, but also I want Ted Lasso to get awards. But also I feel like Nicholas Holt might be a good shot, or Rami. I don't know. It's hard to know who won last year in SAG in this category.
Oh, let me check, because it wasn't Fleabag. Was it like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
You know correct? What? Maisel did sweep.
Because Schitt's Creek is the only repeat nominee. Last year was their first nomination, and they were up against Barry, Fleabag, Kominsky Method, Not a Real Show, and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Maisel is out this year, which is thank very refreshing goodness. Because... I was just so bored. But it is refreshing because it opens up spots for other people.
It is. So I'm going to cheer for Dan because he gave me my favorite show last year.
If Jason gets the Globe, which I'll give him the Globe, then I would give Dan the SAG. I feel like that's how
we're all about spreading the love.
I'm really excited to get to this female category because
I know,
man, do I have some thoughts here.
Honestly, it's not bad. It's very white. I predicted Issa Rae and failed yet again. But we have Christina Applegate and Lyda Cardellini for Dead to Me, Kaley Cuoco, the flight attendant, and then Annie Murphy and Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek. And here's the funny part. Normally, you can try to match, like, whoever the ensemble winner is with maybe one of the winners, kind of like Globes. All of these ladies are nominated for ensemble. Their shows are nominated for series, which is kind of wild with the flight attendants. So look out.
I was like, I looked at this category. First of all, I do enjoy Dead to Me. I love that for some reason, the SAGs really love Dead to Me. Like,
I love any show that employs Natalie Morales.
Honestly, it's a really wild show. I will say that. And Christina Applegate and Lyda Cardellini are the stars, obviously, of mm-hmm. that. So they're really caring. It's really hard for me to decide, like, between the two of them. I'm like, I don't know. So then I'm like,
I just have a soft spot in my heart for Lyda Cardellini.
I do love Lyda Velma. Cardellini. She is Velma. But also, she's Jess's sister from New Girl. But I have a note that's like, is everyone going to split the vote? And is Kaley Cuoco going to get it? Because
look out. It could happen. Four, on the Big Bang Theory.
Or two from each from the same show. So it's like, I don't know what's going to happen in this category, man.
Just remember, the Big Bang Theory was nominated for this award a few times. So look out.
I have this weird feeling, too. I have a better feeling that the flight attendant would do better for some reason at the SAGs than the Globes, though I could be wrong and it could do well at both.
The flight attendant feels like a Globes show to me. It does, in the same way that like Maisel or Laura Dern for Enlightened or Lena Dunham for Girls. They really love to award women.
I don't know. I haven't watched The Flight Attendant, but I could give it to 4 out of 5 of these people because their performances were just that good.
I know. I'm biased for Annie Murphy, but honestly, I've decided Issa Rae should win.
That's the one thing, too, that I'm like, Issa Rae and Tracy Ellis Ross should also be in this category, and we should just make it like a 7-person category, and they all win.
I know Black-ish is a comedy, but the clip of Rainbow talking to her son about sneaking out during the pandemic because she's a doctor, and it really broke my heart.
It's like so good
when that went. Like, I know it's supposed to be a comedy category, but
I mean, like, Dead to Me is beautiful. Dead to Me is a dark comedy. A lot of
and the, so is The Flight Attendant. Like, Schitt's Creek is the only pure comedy.
The the reason that I would give it to Dead to Me is not because of the comedic performances this past year, but because of some like really good dramatic performance that Linda Cardellini did. So I'm going to give it to Linda Cardellini. I just want her to.
And Linda Cardellini has been working since she was a teenager, been forever, like Freaks and Geeks, y'all, Velma.
Literally.
But Linda Cardellini has been great in so many things, and she should win something.
Honestly, though, Issa Rae should have been in this category for Insecure.
Issa Rae.
Issa Rae.
We're going to write and vote. Issa Rae.
Write and vote for Issa Rae and write and vote for Comedy Ensemble. Insecure.
So who do you think is going to win? Comedy Ensemble, Dead to Me, Flight Attendant, The Great, Schitt's Creek, or Ted Lasso? I feel like it's going to be Schitt's Creek.
I feel like it could be Schitt's Creek, or I feel like it could be The Great, because
I don't know, because Elle Fanning's not nominated.
Oh.
And my thing is, Schitt's Creek's the only repeat nominee, and all four of the principal performers got in, so
I do wonder if they're going to give it to the ensemble, but they might not give it to the individual performers in this one.
And that could work.
I'm fine with that.
Because they've done that before with like Orange is the New Black for several years.
I would be Downton Abbey. I'd be totally fine if they gave it to like them for, I would say, they deserve, for sure they deserve ensemble because their ensemble is the.
Because there's no one person you think of or even two people you think of when The Great, you think it's Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult. Flight Attendant is Kaylee Cuoco. Dead to Me as the two leads. Ted Lasso is Jason Sudeikis. So when you think Schitt's Creek, that's like six performers immediately come to mind about who the lead could be.
I agree. Yeah, let's do that. Give it to them.
My babes. Do you want to talk about any of the film nominees at
let's
all?
See. There was what some. Did I have
it's
here?
A lot better.
Yeah, at least Ma Rainey, to Five Bloods, and One Night Got More Love at the SAGs. That was what
And even Minari, which is not out yet, but is a beautiful, beautiful film.
Hmm.
Like, that's the one that the Golden Globes said is a foreign language film and that they were going to make it a foreign language film, even though it's an American film about a Korean family. So,
yeah, that was really.
I know Trial of Chicago 7 has the most heat because it has the most movie stars, but I hope something like Minari or One Night in Miami could win.
That was really the only comment that I had was like, I was just at least glad to see those because as we've talked about, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is like such a great, very tense, very well done film. And Viola Davis and Chadwick are phenomenal. I have not seen To Five Bloods, but I was glad that based on what I heard from Globes backlash that then the SAGs recognized. And One Night is so good. Like both Ma Rainey's and One Night are really great character studies. Like if you're looking for a film that's like a really well done character study with dialogue that's heavy but very well strung together. And it's very, how do I say this? It covers a lot, but it all makes sense. Like there's a lot of topics that are covered in both of those, in dialogues and monologues, and it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel rushed. It feels so well paced. Like it just works. Like that you can feel the tension through the dialogue, through the characters' interactions. And that's what makes both of them so powerful. For an extra level of tenseness, watch Ma Rainey's, because with One Night they move a bit where Ma Rainey's it's like you start to feel like claustrophobic in a good way. Like there's so much that builds and it's just so good.
It is so good, both of those. And I love that even though they're both based on plays, like I didn't feel like I was watching a play. And even though you have the beautiful monologues, it still had motion and the film was telling you where to look. Whereas like during a play, you can look at whatever you want on stage. But like whenever you're adapting it to a film, you have to be very purposeful of what you're looking at and who the reaction shots are.
It was
and
very
I think that's why those two films work.
Yes,
intentional.
It was very
really
intentional
great
about
direction.
What they did. Yeah.
Sure. You want to know something real silly?
Of course.
Regina King When she was on the Oscar awards search for If Beale Street Could Talk, and on any of her like Watchmen or TV series or anything, she's never been nominated for an individual SAG award. I think she's only been nominated once for Ensemble with the cast of Ray. So Regina King never won a SAG award or has ever been nominated individual. And she has like one Ensemble nomination. So I'm really happy to see the film she directed get in for Ensemble.
Heck yes.
But the fact that she's never been honored by her peers.
That's so wrong.
It's and so wrong.
Did you have any thoughts that weren't covered on the SAG Awards for film that you wanted to throw out there?
I'm glad the Minari performers got in to supporting actress and lead actor. I'm so worried about Hillbilly Elegy. I feel like Glenn Close is not bad in a movie I've watched clips of and have no interest in watching the whole thing, but I would be very sad if she won a supporting Oscar all these years after being such a leading star for so many decades. It would just not be a good win. She should have won for Dangerous Liaisons, which is so much fun. And then Amy Adams got in, and sure, I hate that I have to root against Amy Adams because I love Amy Adams.
Oof, that's how you know it's not great. Where you're like, you're making.
And then it's kind of weird that people's presumed frontrunner Amanda Seyfried was left off of supporting actress for Mank, but Gary Oldman got in.
That's a choice.
And then one really kind of cool stat people are talking about is that Chadwick Boseman got 4 nominations in the film because he's part of 2 ensembles and then he's in supporting and lead actor. Ugh. And everyone can fact check and stuff, but be nice. But I'm pretty sure that is a record for most nominations in a single year. Ugh. And then Olivia Colman got 3 nominations between television and film. She's nominated in supporting for The Father, and then she's got her 2 noms for The Crown. So
nice.
It's a year of kings and queens, but I'm very, very happy for Chadwick, and I hope he wins at least 2 of them.
Sincerely, when I watched Ma Rainey's, I was like,
it's a beautiful film. He would be in contention no matter what.
Yeah, he monologues the crap out of that film. Like,
and like whenever I'm thinking of what I want to win for ensemble film, I'm like, anything but the Chicago 7.
That's fair.
All these others are so good and everybody's essential. Like, you have Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country over here into 5 Bloods. And I think he's giving one of the best performances and should be getting more recognition for both television and film right now. So,
Well, Chels, look at how chaotic we were in a tight time frame.
I feel like we had a lot of good things to say.
We did. We did. And you know what? For us not really preparing that much for this chaotic corner, I'm really proud at how well this all came together.
I've recorded so many podcasts and edited so many podcasts in the last week that I'm surprised any of this is coming together.
Surprised anything we're saying makes sense. Chelsea is now on 50 million podcasts. Well, as always, thank you for stirring up some chaos with me.
Always.
Do we want to do our usual last 2 questions, or do we want to wrap it up with?
Let's do our last 2 questions because I can give recommendations based on the nominees.
Okay. I was literally about to be like, I'm going to recommend some of the nominees. So, hey guys, what we like to ask is, what's one thing, be it a book, TV show, film, podcast, etc., from either a Black, Indigenous, or person of color creator and or featuring Black men and women, Indigenous people, or people of color that you'd like our listeners to consume this week? We just gave you so many, but let's run through some of them because I will say watch One Night in Miami. I think Ma Rainey's is like really, really good
and I've definitely recommended both of them in the past.
Oh yeah, for sure. I haven't recommended One Night in Miami though, because I just watched it a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You didn't have a screener like me.
I didn't. I had to wait like a normal person. But One Night in Miami is a really beautiful, beautiful film. It's a great ensemble film. Regina King is a brilliant director. It's tension filled without feeling stifling or dark. it's really important. It features Leslie Odom Jr. singing. Original song is in it, so there's, which I know got nominated. And as we mentioned before, Kingsley Benadire deserved nomination. He's so, so good as Malcolm X. It's very captivating. So watch One Night in Miami. I feel like you will really, really enjoy it. And also, I know that you've recommended this before, but please watch Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, especially because Viola Davis and Chadwick Boseman give phenomenal award-worthy performances. And it's just, it's like what Chell said, it's all the best parts of a play without you with just intentionality and really, really well being really well written. They're both just there. You'll walk away feeling things. And that's really what you should do when you walk away from films is feel things. And so I'm recommending those two for sure. And then on the TV side, 100%, if you have not yet watched, I May Destroy You. I will destroy you. how mean is that? No, but seriously, if you're in a good headspace, I always do put this disclaimer because yes, it is about assault and there will be triggers for you if that is something that you know already. It's probably not the best choice. Watch Insecure instead. And that
always just
watch Insecure also, but if you like you can't watch it, watch Insecure, and then come back maybe at some point if you are able to, because I May Destroy You is a very, very important show. And it's just a powerful show. There's not much else to say that hasn't already been said much better by other people. And then Insecure, in my opinion, this last season was one of its best, if not its best seasons. And I know that it's going to be ending soon, which makes me a little sad, but I'm glad that it gets to go out on its own terms. And so Issa Rae forever holds a special place in our heart, and Michaela Cole 100%. So support Black women, please and thank you. Okay, bye. Chels?
So, of course, it's on brand for us to recommend something off of HBO Max.
Yes.
So I'm going to recommend a film dropping on HBO Max pretty soon. It is Judas and the Black Messiah, starring SAG nominee Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield. Our Get Out reunion, Lil Rel Howery even shows up for some of it.
Nice.
And I did get a ticket for Sundance, the virtual Sundance, to watch this. I snagged it the moment I could. It was a fight for that one. And when I watched it, I was just... It is such a beautiful film. It is a biopic of Fred Hampton and the plot of the FBI to kill him. He was a Black Panther. Mm. He was an activist. He was changing communities. He was only like 21 or 22 years old when they're doing this. So, yes, Daniel Kaluuya is a lot older than that right now. But you're watching the story of very young men and just all the good work they're doing and the horrible things that have happened. And it is such essential viewing. It's a beautiful film. I hope Daniel wins every single award. I think it's going to be more rewarding with every watch because it's a film you really have to sit with things. It is so romantic. Daniel Kaluuya has never looked so fine. I'm a queer woman saying this. So Jen, look out. I feel like you're going to love this, but it is.
I mean, yes.
It takes the biopic structure and actually makes you care, and it doesn't do all the usual tropes with it.
Okay.
It is told through the eyes of Lakeith Stanfield, who is the snitch that tells on Fred Hampton. Like, historically, this actually happened. It was William O'Neill was the man that, like, pretty much... was a teenage kid, only like literally an older teenager, and the FBI was blackmailing him to tell them information about Fred Hampton and had him infiltrate. And it's a really sad, heartbreaking story, especially when you realize that Lakeith, the man he's playing, they made a documentary about this death. Mm-hmm. And then the night after the documentary aired, the man committed suicide.
Ugh. Oh.
So that is one thing you have to know. That's history. It's not spoilers.
Yeah.
That it is a very heartbreaking but beautiful tale about everything happening. And please watch this and not the Trial of Chicago 7. If you want to see something culturally important, please, I am begging you. It is actually good and thoughtful and heartfelt. So I'm going to recommend that. And then Minari, which hits streaming and VOD soon. I think the same day as Judas and the Black Messiah, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the week before. Okay. Everyone just follow us on Twitter and I will tweet these things out.
Four.
And then Nomadland stars Frances McDormand, but it is written and directed and edited by Chloe Zhao. She is an Asian woman who is a student of Spike Lee, who is the director of Defy Bloods. So it's really cool to see them on the awards trail together. Spike Lee, his lasting influence on everything. Go watch Defy Bloods. Nomadland will be hitting Hulu.
Yay!
Those are my recommendations.
Oh, and as always, we will put them in our show notes. And Chels, now that you've got 50 billion different podcasts that you're doing, please tell everyone where they can find and follow your stuff and keep up with your content. Keep up with Chels.
Keeping up with Chels.
You're like, I don't even remember the handles.
I genuinely had to like cycle through. I was like taking a break.
God bless.
So I'm Chels725 on Twitter and Letterboxd. I'm doing a lot of film ratings and silly reviews lately. Please go check them out. Usually it says something like Adam McKay must be stopped. Hardly anything serious, but you know what? Somewhat engaging. And then I am doing the Cinema Gals podcast with Morgan, who has guest on this show for Hocus Woo-hoo. Pocus and Dungeons and Dragons. And then I'm always doing Those Gals Have Moxie. Megan and I have an episode WandaVision coming out this same week. So we had a mini Moxie Gals because the other two gals have not seen it yet. And we just had to talk about it because it's the most excited I've been about a TV show in a long time.
It's fair.
So follow at Cinema Gals on Twitter and at Moxie Gals Pod. Rate, review, subscribe to all of those. Please, 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 please. Also, this one. Please, 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 please.
Yay.
I think that's it. I'm guesting on a bunch of podcasts. Yeah. I'll tweet it. I don't know.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff coming up for you. Yeah, you should definitely follow them. I may or may not be a guest.
You might be a guest coming up.
I'm very excited for Cinema Gals because notoriously I don't watch movies. But
found a movie you did watch.
Yes, you did. God bless. Yeah, you can find us, you know, on Twitter at COMM Rewatch Pod, on Instagram at Community Rewatch. Every month, please donate if you're able to the Loveland Therapy Fund for Black women and girls, because you know what? Mental health is important and no one should have to go without the resources. And especially what we love about this is that this fund helps pair up Black women and girls with Black therapists, which is very important. So check out our pinned tweet. Always, thanks for stirring up some chaos. This is a lot less chaotic and more structured than I expected.
Honestly,
it to be.
I'm so proud of us.
Maybe we shouldn't plan as much anymore because we seem to do pretty well.
I never plan. What are you talking?
I mean, maybe I shouldn't plan as much anymore.
No, you need to plan, please.
I do. Who else will tell me what to do? Chels, as always, you know, it's a Community Rewatch podcast. So our last question, we like to ask, what's something that you enjoy rewatching or what are you currently rewatching? This is obviously...
aside from Schitt's Creek all the time.
That's fair.
Aside from Insecure all the time.
That's fair.
I will shout out WandaVision. I am enjoying the heck out of that. And I'm actually going to rewatch some of the episodes.
At least the last...
Episodes 4 and 5.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I am really enjoying Kat Dennings and Teyonna Paris. I think they are stars. I think this is a show that is better than The Mandalorian. Sorry, Disney. I think it's doing much more interesting things in writing and story. And there's really good character performance, especially from Elizabeth Olsen, the story is still unfolding. We've all only seen the first 5 episodes, but I'm very curious to see where the show goes. And I'm really enjoying all of the storylines and how it's going to lead to things. And so, yes, please listen to me and Megan talk WandaVision because we have thoughts and ideas.
WandaVision is like increasingly becoming that show that everyone's
we
like,
talk about how the week to week format works for
yes,
us.
Yes, it does. It's
not super long episodes.
No. And after Elizabeth Olsen really didn't get that much what she deserved in the movies, I love seeing mm-hmm. her shine in this. Also adding not just to the wonderful, wonderful other characters, but can we please give some love for Randall Park?
I love Randall Park.
My goodness. I was just saying, I
want a spinoff of Monica and Darcy and Jimmy. So yes, please. I want that spinoff adventure.
I don't care what it is. I want it.
It could literally be their own wacky adventures of the week. Like, let them do the Mandalorian format. I don't care. They're much more fun to watch, except for Baby Yoda being cute.
It's true. What am I? I'm currently rewatching still. It will be over soon because it was very short. Shout out HBO Max for having Pushing Daisies. So I will continue and finish that very shortly. And then I'm going to rewatch Ted Lasso because I've only watched it through once. And so I want to do it again because it fills my heart with greater joy and Mumford and Sons songs. So
beautiful.
There you go. And thank you, everyone, who decided to listen to this. Thanks, Chels, for the chaos. And we'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for listening to the Community Rewatch podcast. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts these days so you don't miss an episode. If you want to follow along with our content on social media, you can follow us at COMM Rewatch Pod on Twitter or at Community Rewatch on Instagram. Many, many thanks to Chelsea Eichels for putting together today's episode. We're so glad that you chose to go back to Greendale with us. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.